Something I love about Christmas is all the tradition. Doing the same things year after year that bring such joy in my heart. I can listen to Christmas music all day, every day, putting up the lights, decorating the Christmas tree, getting cards, Christmas cards from old friends, going to Christmas parties and Christmas concerts. Man, I just love all things Christmas. Setting up my baseball-themed Christmas tree in my office. Love that. Spending time with the family, Christmas Eve, and one last thing that always sets up the day of Christmas just perfectly, the last preparation is mowing the lawn on Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas in South Texas. I love Christmas. I mean, I really do. Your list may be different. It may be longer. It may be shorter, but Abigail, cinnamon rolls for the win. I mean, that's a new, I just thought, okay, we got to add that tradition. That's you know, perfect. So anyway, there is joy in all those things for me that I mentioned. Maybe not so much for you. Maybe it's different things. There's joy in all those things. But the truth is, some of the very things that bring such great joy to us year after year sometimes can also bring on so much stress trying to do those and get those things done and done at the right time that sometimes we can just want it all to be over and done with almost before it starts. I mean, Christmas music, I love it. Start listening to it in October, November 1st at the latest. But Christmas music can get old, even if you like it. I mean, some songs I just can't. The 12 Days of Christmas is 12 days too long. Now, some kids, man, I think I loved it when I was a kid. So, kids just keep enjoying it. You know, I'll listen to it. But if it's just me in my office listening, I'll just hit next on Spotify when that song comes up, you know. It can be difficult. It can be difficult to find time to put up the Christmas lights. We always do it right after Thanksgiving where we were putting up Christmas lights in the rain yesterday and didn't get it finished. And we're doing something else today. So it'll be Monday night before I can get the rest of the lights up. It just can be difficult to do all those things. And have you ever been to a Christmas party that you really didn't want to go to, but you felt obligated to attend? And planning around Christmas, planning, getting the family together, becomes more difficult when your kids grow up and they get married. And then you have to think about other families in that mix. The truth is, trying to do everything you've always done doesn't always work. Because sometimes you can't, and sometimes you just shouldn't. To be totally transparent, no one can get stuck in a groove at Christmas time more than me. I am a traditionalist. I like to do the same stuff over and over again. And fortunately, I have my wife, Kathy, to remind me sometimes when it's time for a change. And okay, we can let that go. We don't have to keep doing that year after year after year. For years, as our boys were growing up, we went up to Granny and Granddad's in East Texas every Christmas. Every Christmas we went. After my folks passed away, that's what we did year after year after year. And we loved it. We loved going up there because it was always colder up in East Texas and it felt more like Christmas. But I remember it wasn't always great memories. You know, packing up everything and packing up all the presents and hiding them so the kids didn't see them, especially when they were big, was a challenge at times. And then before we had Brazos Point and Christmas Eve services in my old church, I had to be at Christmas Eve services, and so we wouldn't get to leave until like 9 or 10 at night on the 24th. Long trip up to East Texas. It was well after midnight when we got there. We had to put the kids who got wired with all the food that Granny and Granddad had for them after midnight, get them to bed, and then once they were in bed, then we had to put out all the Christmas, always some assembly required. And then we would go to sleep exhausted. Only to know that within 3 or 4 hours, we were going to be woken right back up. Hey, look what all we have for Christmas. Man, it was so wonderful and so challenging. Then one year, Kathy said, I think we should stay home for Christmas. What? Now, I knew she was right, but I protest. I said, but we always go to Granny and Granddad's for Christmas. She said, yes, but the boys are getting older. They were in junior high and high school now, and they really want to spend time with their friends over the holidays. I knew she was right, and so we decided to do something different and stay home this Christmas, and I thought, this is going to be a great Christmas. Well, that was Christmas 2004. Those of you who lived there will remember, that's when we had a white Christmas on the coast. A very white Christmas if you weren't here. I mean, it snowed over a foot of snow. It was wonderful. And guess where it didn't snow? Up in East Texas, where it's colder. If we'd gone up there, we would have missed it completely. I'm so glad we broke the mold that year and did something different for Christmas, because it turned out to be one of the best Christmases we've ever had. And I'm grateful that Kathy, as I said, knows when it's time to change some things. And that's the idea behind our message series, our Christmas message series, Not a Cookie Cutter Christmas. Listen, if you can start fresh this Christmas, you know, and not be tied to anything you've ever done before, and just start over, what are some of the things that you would do differently or do for the first time? Or what are some things that you would no longer do? Well, we can get some direction. We can get some direction on how to make those decisions this Christmas from the Apostle Paul. He was one of the early church leaders. The Apostle Paul, he was addressing a church in the city of Corinth. Now, this what I'm talking about has nothing to do with Christmas, but there's a principle in play here, so stay with me. He was helping them make some decisions. These were new, young Christians that were trying to decide how to break with some of their pagan past and all the traditions that they normally did and honor Jesus in what they did. And the issue that Paul was actually addressing directly is one that we cannot relate to at all. It was eating leftover meat sacrificed to idols in pagan temples. That's never been a temptation for anyone here, I'm sure. Okay, but like I said, stay with me. They were asking, should we do this or not? Because they would take what was left over and sell it in the markets. They would go to the markets and they said, should we check and see if it, you know, if should we check and see if this meat's been sacrificed to idols? If we go to dinner at someone's house, should we ask them, hey, did that come from a temple? And Paul, what he tried to explain to them, it wasn't wrong, but it may not have been wise because of some of the implications it could have had and all. So what does this have to do with Christmas? Well, he wrapped it all up and tied a bow on it with this summary at the end of his discussion there. There's a principle we can follow here when we're thinking about what do we do at Christmas time? What should we do? What should we not do? He said, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. I mean, think about those things that honor Jesus and bring joy to our families. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. We can apply this to almost everything, if not everything, in our Christmas decisions. We can apply this doing it for the glory of God in the presents that we buy, how we spend our time, the way we treat others, and the way we celebrate. The list goes on and on. I mean, think about it. Are we spending money wisely? Do we really need to buy presents for everybody every year like we've always done? Can we even afford it? Do we honor the Lord who came to bring peace on earth in the way we treat the people who serve us at restaurants and in the stores when we go Christmas shopping? Does our behavior at holiday parties honor Jesus Christ? Listen, this Christmas, let's determine to be purposeful and intentional in all that we do. Let's honor Jesus and bring joy to our family and friends in every decision we make and everything that we do. Some of you ladies listen to Susie Davis's Dear Daughters podcast. She's an influencer who's spoken several times at our ladies' retreat here at Brazos Point. Well, a few weeks ago, her topic was learning from holiday blunders. And it was interesting that the blunders that she talked about, because it's some of the very things that we're addressing this month in Not a Cookie Cutter Christmas. One of her, the first one she says is missing the point of gift giving. And that's next week's topic when Michael Akers, our discipleship pastor, is going to talk about giving with a plan. Then Susie Davis went on to describe another blunder, not acknowledging grief. Because we have grief sometimes at Christmas. And I'm going to talk about living with loss in 2 weeks. Today I want to address two other blunders, though, that Davis talked, she mentions, and they're really quite similar. One of them, she said, was setting too high of expectations for the holidays, and the other is trying to do too much. So let's start with the expectations. If you have your Bible, I'd invite you to open it up to Luke chapter 10, verse 38 in your Bible. Luke 10, 38. If you're on your phone, scroll down to Luke. If you're in your Bible, it's about three, if you're in a print Bible like this, it's about three-fourths of the way across. Luke is one of the first four books in the New Testament called Gospels. Gospel means good news. Luke was one of four biographers who told the story, the good news of Jesus Christ. If you don't have a Bible, we're going to put the words on the screen. And we'd also, maybe this is your first Christmas gift this year, you can pick up a Bible free at the Welcome Center on your way out. Now, what we're going to see in this story, it's a story that we've told several times here, we've preached through several times, because it's so applicable to our just day-to-day lives. Sometimes, high expectations for the holidays, they're set by other people, and we don't have much control over it, and we realize, okay, that's not a battle I'm going to fight this year. But sometimes those expectations, even expectations we think other people have, are really actually expectations that we're setting on our own. Well, Luke tells the story of two sisters, Mary and Martha, who, if they were living today, I am certain they would come into conflict in planning their Christmas parties for their friends and families, okay? And here's what happened when they entertained Jesus in their home. Luke 10, begin with verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Now, it's Martha's house, and Mary probably lived with her. It's kind of implied there, but we don't know that for sure. And I'm guessing, I don't know this, but I'm guessing just by her actions, Martha was the firstborn, you know, the one that's responsible for everything. She was the firstborn, and Mary may have been the secondborn or the middle child, because they had a brother named Lazarus we hear about in other stories. Here, he's not mentioned in this story. Well, we see Mary, Jesus is in their home, and Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to his room, hanging out with him and hanging on to every word he's saying. But where's Martha? Well, we see in the next verse. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Well, what kind of preparations? Well, that's easy to think about preparations. You know, all the stuff you do when you have house guests, and it's probably a pretty big group of people that came to their house that day. You got to prepare snacks or maybe even a meal, and you have to get the guest room ready if Jesus and some of his disciples were going to stay over the night there at their house. Now, do you see what's happening here? Okay, we just see it. Just a little bit of this story. Right up front, Jesus is a big deal. Jesus is a celebrity in the nation. Arguably the most well-known and most popular person in the country, in their world. And he is at Martha's house. He is with Martha. He's hanging out at her house. But is she hanging out with him? No. She's busy with preparations that had to be made. Jesus was in her home. And all she could think of is she had high expectations for all that needed to be done. And she was certain Jesus felt the same way. And she was getting frustrated because she couldn't get it all done. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Now, what we're about to see, I mean, she's telling Jesus what to do. Don't miss that point either. Tell her to help me. What we're about to see is that her expectations for her guests were higher than her guests' expectations were. And Jesus' reply shocked her, I'm sure. Martha, Martha. And I'm sure he said this in a calming way. Just chill out, Martha. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. I want you to think about Mary. Mary was present with Jesus. She was there in the moment, being with him, listening to what he had to say, was all that really mattered that day. I want you to think about, let's apply this to our Christmases. We have lots of expectations for Christmas every year. I know I do. But we have all these expectations. And they're not all bad, okay? Traditions aren't bad. And doing the same things is not necessarily bad. But we often find ourselves trying to do so much. And everything's got to be just perfect this year. And maybe this will be the year that Aunt so-and-so and Cousin so-and-so, you know, chill out and get back together and mend their differences. We put so many expectations on Christmas. We often find ourselves doing so much and expecting so much that we miss the joy of the season. And so I would encourage you this Christmas, don't get so caught up in preparations. Don't set such high expectations that you miss the party, which is Christmas. Jesus was the party that day. It was all about him. It's still all about him. What good is it if you go through all the preparations for Christmas and you miss Jesus this season? If you're not careful, you'll get distracted just like Martha with all the expectations you have for all things Christmas, And you'll get to January and you'll miss Christmas. And all you'll want to do is just get everything put away and just move on. It doesn't have to be that way. Now, added to the high expectations is the danger of trying to do too much. So let's go look back at Mary and Martha again. Think back to Jesus' reply to Martha. Few things are needed, Martha, or indeed, only one. Think about all that you may be trying to cram into Christmas this year. We've got plenty of time, okay? So you think you can get it all done, but maybe try to be a little bit realistic. Think about all you're trying to cram into 1 month. Is it realistic to do all the things that you want to do? If you're trying to do everything you've always done, you may be doing too much. Or it may not be that you're trying to do too much, but maybe you're trying to do too much on your own. Ladies, you don't have to cook everything and just do it by yourself. You don't have to cook all those things that mom used to make that you've never made, but you're going to make, you're going to do it all this year. Think about all the expectations you're putting on yourself. You don't have to do too much. You know, I find it interesting that Luke doesn't say anything about Martha asking Mary for help. Maybe she did. Maybe she didn't. We don't know. He doesn't tell us. But let's think about it. If she knew ahead of time that Jesus was coming, and maybe she did, if she knew ahead of time that Jesus was coming, she could have asked Mary for help the day before, and then they could have both sat at Jesus' feet the next day. Now, there's no way to know, more than what Luke tells us, and that's not all that important, but here's what is important. What we do know is that her expectations were too high. And because she was trying to do more than she could do on her own, it created friction between her and Mary. And Mary may have been oblivious to that, which probably just made Martha more upset. When your expectations are too high, you'll try to do too much in a month, or maybe just try to do too much on your own. It's okay to ask folks to help. And the problem is you'll get in a hurry, and you'll miss the joy of whatever it was you're trying to accomplish this Christmas season to celebrate. Let's look back in the big picture of God's story with us and what he wants for us and what he wants us to experience with him. Here's how God addressed this problem of missing the point through one of the ancient Hebrew Psalms, Psalm 46. And I'll just read it for you. God reminds us in Psalm 46:10, and this may have happened after Israel had been at war, and so they were very distracted. He said, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still." Another translation says, "Cease striving." Just chill. "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." I want to encourage you to take time this Christmas season and remind yourself, it's about Jesus. This is about Jesus, okay? I want to encourage you to practice the art of slowing, okay? You ever heard of that? The art of slowing? Let me tell you some steps to just slow down, to slow your life down. I got these from a pastor friend of mine in Sugar Land, a guy named Patrick Kelly. I haven't seen him in several years, but I listened to a sermon he preached years ago, and I wrote down all these things because I thought, this is gold. Practice the art of slowing, okay? Listen, when you go Christmas shopping, park at the back of the parking lot, okay? Take extra time to get up there. It's good exercise. When you get ready to check out at every store, go to the longest checkout line. Just have time to think. Just be still. Think about Christmas. When you approach a stoplight and you got a little bit of time before the stoplight, you know, when you position yourself to, you know, move around where there's least cars, go behind a big truck. Some of you know what I'm talking about if you drive, okay? If you go to the bank to get out cash, extra cash, read the directions at the ATM machine. All of them. Every one of them. Just take your time doing that, okay? And when you, this is my favorite, and when you travel to grandma's for Christmas, stop and read every historical marker along the way. That's what I would do. That's what I do when I'm by myself and I have time. I'm bent that way, okay? But seriously, now, I don't think any of you are going to do any of those things unless you do it to aggravate the people you're with and blame them on Pastor Greg. He told us to do these things, you know? Take it up with him. You know, I'm just doing what my pastor said, you know? But seriously, break the mold. Break the mold of trying to do too much this Christmas and do it all and take some time to be still and just think about the Christmas story. You know, looking back to Psalm 46, the psalmist records God's words in verse 10. He's quoting what God is telling him, to be still and know that I am God. Those are God's words. But then the psalmist ends the psalm with his own commentary. about that. And he says in verse 11, the Lord Almighty is with us. He's with us. God is with us. Does that sound familiar? If you're a Christ follower and you've been following Jesus for a while and have celebrated Christmas, really thinking about Jesus, you'll know that's from the Christmas story. God with us. Matthew quoted the prophet Isaiah, who was predicting Jesus' coming to earth. Matthew, in his biography or gospel of Jesus, he said, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. All that really, really matters this Christmas and really throughout the year, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, is to know that God is with us, is that you acknowledge that, especially though at Christmas, acknowledge that God is with us. Jesus came into our world just like we did, as a baby. And then he lived his life, and the story of his life, his death, and his resurrection and power over death remind us that God is with us. Keep that in mind this Christmas season. And when you think about all the Christmas activity that's just around the corner, remember this. You don't have to do everything. You don't have to buy all those gifts. This may be the year to break the mold. Or at least, okay, if you've got time to do it all and you've got help and you can get it all done and it's still fun and joyous, great, do it all. But try this, okay? Change your perspectives this year as you think about what's ahead. Change your perspectives from have-tos to get-tos. You don't have to do it all. Think about what you get to do. You get to worship Jesus in a lot of different ways. Here at church, but even at some of the Christmas concerts you go to, they'll be singing music that honors Jesus Christ, and you get to worship maybe more than normal during this season. You get to be generous, like the Magi, who brought gifts to Jesus. I don't have time to explain it, but those gifts had a purpose, had multiple purposes in them, and your gifts can be purposeful. Like I said, Michael will talk about that next week. And you get to experience the good news of the gospel. Just like Mary, as the Bible records, when she pondered all those things, she treasured up all those things and pondered them in her heart. Man, treasure what you have this year. Treasure what you've had in the past and ponder those things and think about the good gifts of God and the good things that he has given us. As we begin this Christmas season today, I know it's November, but it's time. As we begin this celebration of Christmas, let's remind ourselves why Jesus came to earth in the first place. It doesn't end with the Christmas story. That's where it begins. Jesus came to earth. He was on a mission. He came to seek and to save the lost. And we're all lost until we come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He came knowing when he came that he would one day die for the sins of all of us. He died a substitutionary death on a Roman cross to pay the penalty for our sins, a penalty that we could never pay on our own. And then he rose from the grave on the third day to prove that he was God and he had power over even death. We're going to do something to remind ourselves of that today. We're going to take the Lord's Supper. Servers, would you please go to your stations now and prepare to serve. You know, in keeping with the theme of doing things a little differently this Christmas season, not a cookie cutter Christmas, we're going to take the Lord's Supper a little differently than we usually do. We're not going to pass the elements down the rows for you to take. We're not going to take it all together at one time. That's great, and that's a good way to celebrate the Lord's Supper, but Christians have celebrated the Lord's Supper in a lot of different ways, and this is the way we haven't done in a while, but we're going to today, okay? We're going to worship Jesus in a moment with songs. In a moment, we're going to ask you to stand, and we're going to start singing together. We're going to have plenty of time to sing. And as we sing, when you feel the time is right for you, then I want you to get up, leave your seat, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and then go to one of the stations. There's four. There's two up front, and there's two in the back corners. Go to the one that's nearest you. Form a line on the left. Okay. Keep it organized. Go to the station, and you can receive the cup and the bread there. We'll have a gluten-free option for you if you need that. And you can eat the bread and drink the cup there. as the servers hand it to you, or you can take it back to your seat, or you can stand in an aisle with your family and your friends and group up and pray. You can take it however you want to. You're going to have plenty of time as we sing. We've saved most of the music for the end of the service. So we'll do that. And as we do that, let's remember this beautiful gift of God to send his only son, Jesus, at Christmas, so that one day he really would bring peace on earth through his death on the cross and through freeing us from our sins. Here's what the Lord's Supper symbolizes. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You know, for all of the energy we put into celebrating Christmas for a full month or more, Jesus never commanded us to remember his birth. There's not a thing in the Bible that says we should do all the things that we do. There's nothing wrong with it. But what he did command us to do was to remember his sacrificial death. By taking the Lord's Supper, baptism reminds us of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's the point we cannot miss, even at Christmas time. So let's celebrate all that is Jesus, all that he has done, remembering that he is with us as we worship and as we go through this month, hopefully, of joy and peace on earth. Father God, we now come to you to worship you. And as we worship you, let us be grateful for all the sacrifices that you made to send your son to earth to be with us, and the sacrifices that he made to free us from our sin and usher us into eternal life with you. We love you. We praise you. Please accept our worship this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.